Here in Australia, we buy, we cook our sweets at home and make the tables are full of that sweets. Kids gets very happy with that, everybody. And this is a celebration, big celebration.
Today on Dirty Linen, we're continuing our series speaking about cultural festivals. Today, we are talking about something that is going on right now and is so important to Muslims around the world. We are talking about Ramadan with Musa Kayat. Musa has got the Kanafe Nabulsaya shop in Melbourne. I have to say, Kanafe is one of my favorite foods in the world. Musa, welcome to Dirty Linen.
Thank you. Thank you.
I really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat to us during Ramadan. And this week on the podcast, we're learning about different cultural traditions. So, yeah, can you please tell me a little bit about your background and about Ramadan and the way it is, the way it works in your life?
Sure. Originally, I am from Palestine, immigrated about 37, 38 years ago to Australia, enjoying the life around here. And also we practicing all the beliefs what we have faithfully. Now we Muslims around the world, for us Ramadan is very holy month where we practice our faith and beliefs. Ramadan is fasting month for us, where we have to fast from the dawn to the sunset. And during that day, usually we do our work without having any food or water, of course. But at the end of the day, practice our calmness, if you like, in terms of being calm without food all day or water. And of course, we sit down around the table, thanking God for the day and for practicing that faith and having our food. So in Australia, we quietly enjoy among our community, and we have our traditions, of course, in this month.
So, Musa, what are the foods that you normally break the fast with in the evenings?
In the evenings, usually we break it with the soup first to go down on a tummy, empty tummy, to start with. And then with something light, take a little bit of break, of course. Some people go and pray and come back and have food, like any dish can be cooked around, the table or in the family, whatever they prefer to have for that dinner, if you like.
And what about early in the morning before dawn? Do you get up early to have something in your tummy for the day?
That's correct. We get up early in the morning and have something to last us during the day. Also, we have something sweet, and maybe a cup of tea to keep us going during the day, to give us energy for that fasting day.
How do you find fasting? I mean, do you get hungry? Do you feel good about it? Like, does it give you energy to be fasting? Like, explain it to me.
Look, fasting is something, it's a self-challenge, if you like. And there's a lot of things goes among that. For example, the smokers, they find it very, very annoying because they need that cigarette during that day. As long as you're ignoring what goes around you, even if you work in a kitchen and the smells around you, gets you hungry when you smell food gets cooked, but you keep going. It's a self-challenge. But trust me, after 3 days, you'll get used to it and you won't realize.
And how many days do you do it for?
For 30 days.
And what? How far into it are we now in the first week of April?
We are in 6th day of of Ramadan, of I'm trying to count, you know, about 6 days. Yeah. Interesting. So another 24 days, 23 days.
But you feel well in the swing of it now?
Yes, absolutely. First, as I said, you know, first 3 days, second or third day, and then you get used to it, you worry a lot.
And tell me about the end of Ramadan, about the big feasting that comes at the end.
Well, end of Ramadan, of course, we celebrate Eid at the end of Ramadan. And then, you know, that's a big celebration, actually. And because after fasting, you will see everybody is completing his, you know, what's been asked, you know, as in faith for practicing Ramadan. Everybody happy with that, breaking your fast, and then you're celebrating the Eid for 3 days.
And so tell me about it, celebrating Eid, like what happens?
Celebrating Eid, of course, main thing for us Muslims is visiting friends and family, keeping that. Also, we, you know, having sweets all around, cooking, but mainly sweets being spread around as well, you know, gets cooked. Back home where I came from, Palestine, usually people get very busy before Eid cooking some cookies for the Eid. Here in Australia, we buy, we cook our sweets at home and make the tables are full of that sweets. Kids gets very happy with that, everybody, and this is a celebration, big celebration.
That's great. And what about the other foods, like on the table? Do you have traditional foods that you always eat for Eid, or is it just whatever whatever goes?
Whatever it goes, usually. But usually, you know, gets cooked a big meal. A big meal, talking about, you know, meat get involved, or maybe chicken. In these big, usually roast chicken or maybe roast lamb or something, you know, gets the family all around the table and celebrating, you know, the Eid. But usually it's a big meal for the family.
With the kanafa shop that you have, like, do you operate it during Ramadan? What changes? What changes for you in work?
It changes, comes here for us because we provide some food. We stop the food because we can't keep up with the sweets. Sweets is very demanding in Ramadan. Ramadan, because of after day of fasting, usually people have some sweets with a syrup in it to give them the boost, if you like, after, you know, fasting, and bring up the sugar to the, you know, and energy, if you like, you know. Excuse me. So it's sweets is very, very demandful, and they're always asking for it, you know, during Ramadan. So this is the changes. What we did now is usually because we are short of stuff in this state, to be honest with you, we can't keep up with something else. Usually a lot of sweets get done by Ramadan. People consume a lot of sweets.
So what do you do? Do you just open the kanafa shop at night time, or and then do you just make as much as you can, or what do you do?
What we do is we prepare for the afternoon. Usually people comes and buy it, you know, just before the iftar, and that's what we do. Kanafa, there is a heaps of it being sold. Yeah.
Wow. And so for people who don't know what kanafa is, just explain it.
Kanafa is a dish where is flour, if you like, you know, a dough is involved, a layer of a dough with, we use vegetarian ghee, of course, you know, stuffed up with the cheese and then baked syrup add into it, you know, gives it a very beautiful smell, taste and smell as well.
Yeah, so it's like a sweet syrup-soaked cheese pastry.
Correct. Absolutely.
And I think there's something very special at your kanafa shop about the way that you, the machine that you use to make the pastry. Can you tell me about it?
Yes, absolutely. What we do here in our shop is what we learned from very long time. That this is the way how they used to do it, you know, maybe 300 years ago. Cooking the kanafa on the machine or preparing our dough on a copper surface to prepare our traditional knafe. And that's what makes it very unique, actually. So it's a very old way of doing the knafe.
But what about the machine that you use to make the pastry?
The machine, of course, being designed here, we made it here in Australia, to give me the result I want to, you know, of creating the dough for the knafe. So it wasn't available here in Australia. So we have to design it with a couple of friends, and we build it, and it works perfectly.
Because I've seen the way it sends the pastry out in these very, like angel's threads, like very thin threads of pastry, which are then almost looks like a hand that sort of scrapes it into this pile of beautiful thread. It looks so beautiful, and I just love the fact. So this is a unique machine that you have, right, Musa?
So, well, it is a unique machine, and it's one of its kind, you know, in Australia. Because, as I said, you know, we made it, and we adjusted a little bit of things and gives us a perfect result. This is the old way, how they used to do it on a copper. Cooking on copper gives you a perfect result and a beautiful taste as well. So it's, as I said, you know, maybe I did explain about it. That's a turntable, very hot, out of copper. It rains on it, very thin layer of pastry, and flicks it ready on a side. And that's what they call it, kadaifi. This is the knafe, but this is the original recipe, if you like.
Absolutely love it. I feel a bit mean asking you to talk about it while you're fasting, but I'm very grateful to you for explaining it.
Well, this is what we do now.
Yeah, okay. And what is it right to say? What do I say? Ramadan Mubarak?
That's correct. Thank you very much. Ramadan Mubarak to you too, if you fast with us.
All right. Thank you so much, Musa, for talking us through it. And I'll see you for Knafe soon.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
This is Dirty Linen, and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.